Thankful for another opportunity to be here in service. I look forward to these times. I don't get to be here anymore as much as I used to. And when I do get to be here, it's something special to me. And it's good to see each and every one out this evening. Thank you for putting forth the effort to be here. And I just thank the Lord for this time that we have to be together. Before I get into my thought this evening, I was thinking of something Brother Dion, a few comments he had made this morning right before Sunday school started. And he had made mention of the new year and the time of year that it was. He read a scripture over in 1 Samuel, and I won't reread that scripture. But I think he made reference to just kind of thinking back over your year, thinking back over the year of 2019, and just some of the things that we've gone through individually, things we've gone through as a congregation, some hard things, some difficult things. I'm sure there were things that you've went through that you had no idea that you were going to have to face. Maybe it was sicknesses and just whatever it was. Just had no idea. And he read the verse this morning, and part of that verse said, "Hitherunto hath the Lord helped us." And I thought about that, "hath the Lord helped us," and how true that is. Look where we are tonight, dear ones. Look where we are and look at what we still have, because the Lord hath helped us. And I just want to encourage us going forward into the year of 2020, because no doubt we are still going to continue to face things that are going to be hard, that are going to be difficult. There are things that are going to come that we might not be prepared for at the time, but the Lord has still promised to help us. He is still going to be there for us. We still serve a big God. He has given us promise after promise. And I want to encourage you as we go through this next year to keep pressing on, to keep doing what you're doing. Keep being here. Keep showing up to service. Keep loving each other. Keep singing the songs. Keep thanking and praising the Lord for what He's done for us. He hath helped us, and He will continue to do so. We'll write a few words on the board. I've written on the board the words "still committed," and I put a question mark at the end of that. So I would like to, as we go through this little thought this evening, to think of that in a question form. I'll share just a little personal, a little thought with you, the way this thought came to be. The way the Lord dealt with me on it. I find it very interesting of how the Lord visits me with different things, with different thoughts and messages. Sometimes I feel that He just kind of out of thin air kind of just drops them on me, and those are wonderful times and wonderful experiences. But I'm here to tell you, and I think Brother Eric will agree with me, it doesn't always happen that way. Many times there's lots of digging and praying and those type of things. But earlier this week, I was just kind of in my mind and in my thoughts talking to the Lord. And just kind of in my thinking, I said, "Lord," I said, "well," I said, "Sunday's right around the corner." And I kind of threw that thought out there for Him to hear and for me to kind of start thinking about. And a day or two went by, and, you know, I kind of had my thoughts towards Sunday, but maybe not really. And again, a couple days later, I threw the same thing out there. I said, "Lord," I said, "you know, Sunday's right around the corner. I'm kind of waiting on you to, you know, give me something." And it never seemed to work out that way this time. And I remember in my thoughts, it was such a real conversation between me and the Lord. And I said, Lord, where are you at? Sunday's almost here. And I feel like He responded to me. And He said, where are you at? He said, where have you been? And it kind of caught me off guard a little bit. And I said, well, I guess I've been here waiting on you. And I'm telling you, this conversation was real in my head. And I said, I've been here. I said, I've been a little busy. I said, I've been here. I said, man, well, I went through Christmas and I went through New Year's and all the holidays and friends and family. And then I had to go back to work and I was in days and swapping over to nights and all my days getting mixed up. I said, but I've been here. And I got to thinking about it, and by this time I'm feeling like I don't have anything. I'm feeling kind of a gap between me and the Lord, and just not having nothing. And I got to thinking about it. You know, I've been here before. I've been in this place before. I've had these exact same thoughts at times. Lord, where are you at? And then I think, well, I've been busy. And then I felt like the Lord has told me, well, maybe where's my time? Or maybe I haven't seen as much of you as I want to see. And I thought, you know, I've been in this place. I've felt like I've given these thoughts and these feelings, and Lord, help me with these things that tend to pull me away and that grab my time. I feel like I've done all that. And I felt the Lord check me on this, kind of gave me a wake-up call. And He said, child, He said, we've been in this exact place before, and you have told me these things, and you've committed these things. So I had to stop and think about it. Well, those things that I've committed to you that I know distract me and that I know pull me away and take up my time and all these things, are they still committed? Or have I lost some of that commitment? So that's where the title comes from. That's where the thought comes from. I do have a few scriptures I want to read. Before I do, I've been thinking a little bit about New Year's resolutions. And who wouldn't think about them this time of year? We hear a lot about them. If you're out and about, and man, I'm setting a resolution to lose a few pounds, maybe to eat more vegetables, to, you know, stop a bad habit or whatever it is, and I think about how easily. You know, I don't really put too much into a New Year's resolution. To me, if you're going to make a positive change for the better with anything in your life, I mean, why not start at any given time? But I do understand it. As it was mentioned this morning, it's a time, we mark time by it. You know, it's a good remembrance. It's a fresh start. It's a new year. But I'm thinking about how easily those resolutions that people make, how easily those commitments and resolutions that people make, how easily they're broken. And I guess you could think, well, in our everyday lives, hey, if I make a resolution to lose a few pounds, and 2 or 3 months later, instead of losing a few, I've gained a few, right? That resolution, it kind of went out the window, and maybe I didn't eat as many vegetables as I wanted to eat, or whatever it was. I guess you could say maybe it's really not a big deal. It's not a big deal, I guess, to kind of go back on those resolutions. But I'm thinking of the commitments in our lives when it comes to dealing with spiritual things and the places we come to in life that we know and we understand and we realize that this is where God wants me, or this is what He wants from me, this is what He wants me to commit to Him, those type of things. And when we come to Him and we make those kind of commitments, and we make the decision to do this or to do that or to give this or to get this out of my life, how vitally important it is that we stick by those commitments. And I believe the scriptures that I want to read pertain, kind of talk toward that. They don't use that word, but it talks toward that. So I did a quick search online of commitment, just so we could have a definition. And I appreciate this definition that I found. I don't even know who to reference this from, if it was Webster's or whose it was, but it says commitment is dedication and loyalty to a cause, activity, or job, wholeheartedly dedicated to bind or obligate, as by pledge or assurance, a pledge to commit oneself to a promise, to be committed to a course of action, to entrust, and to commit one's soul to God. To commit one's soul to God. I was surprised to find that in a definition, but to commit one's soul to God. So those are the definitions of commitment. But in all honesty, I don't mean to single anyone or pick anyone out, but I look over this crowd tonight and I see the faces. And I feel like that we are a people here this evening in this building that know what commitment is, know what it's about, know and understand it, have been in the place where we have made the decisions. Lord, here I am. Lord, I give my life to You. Lord, come into my life. Lord, this is, I know what You want from me. I understand it. And Lord, I'm bringing this to You. I commit these things to You. I commit my life to You. I believe that we know and we understand that, what commitment is. But those commitments that we have made, are we still committed? Do we still hold those commitments at the forefront of my mind? Do I still have those in my, and do I still have my focus on those commitments that I gave the Lord? Those commitments that I know I have to give Him when I give my life to Him, when He comes into my life. I'd like to look at a couple scriptures in Luke. Luke chapter 9. Luke 9, starting with verse 57. There's a very similar passage, and we have to believe it comes from the same account over in Matthew chapter 8. But I'd like to read the account here in Luke 9. Verse 57 says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him," if you read the account in Luke, I mean in Matthew, "that certain man," they say, "was a scribe. So a certain man, being a scribe," we know that from Matthew, "said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said to another," now this another, if you read in Matthew, as a disciple, it says, "And he said to another, being a disciple, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." Now this next verse seems maybe a little harsh from Jesus. But let's see what he says. It says, "Jesus says unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee. But let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house." We'll hold up before we read verse 62. Verse 59, it says, "And he said to another, Follow me." If I was in this place, and I was a disciple, and Jesus looked straight at me and said, "Follow me." I can't think of some more precious words to be said. If he would look at me and say that to me. And I believe that most of us here have at one point said, "Yes, Lord, I want to follow you. I've been in that place. Lord, as I've already said, this is what you want from me. I'm willing to give it to you. I'm willing to commit it to you. Yes, Lord, I want to follow you. Thank you, Lord, for coming to me. Thank you, Lord, that I have this opportunity to follow. Yes, I want to follow you." But this person, this disciple said, "But will you let me go and bury my dead first?" And man, this sounds a little harsh to me. He says, "No." Jesus said, "No, let the dead bury their dead. But I want you to go and start preaching to the kingdom of God." The next verse says, and another said, "Lord, I will follow thee." I'm making that commitment. "Lord, I want to follow you. I know what this is all about. I know what it means. And Lord, I want to follow you. But," man, that's a big word right now. "But let me go bid them farewell, which are home at my house. Lord, I want to do the things that I know you would have me to do. Lord, I want to go in the places you would have me to go. But, hold on, 1 minute. Would you mind if I go and take care of this first?" The commitments. The commitment, "Lord, I do want to do this. Lord, this is the place I want to be in. This is the place I know I need to be in. This commitment, Lord, I am committing. I'm giving it to you, Lord. I want to follow you, but," dear one, sometimes even though things seem so important and come up and that need to be taken care of, folks, we can't begin to lose sight of the commitment that I believe we have all at some point in our lives given to the Lord. This verse up here says, "Will you allow me to go and bury my dead?" You know, that was the proper thing. That was the proper thing for the Jews. It was their custom. Just like we give much respect and that's proper for us today, maybe even more so then, it was proper for them to bury their dead and it was a respect thing. But at that point in time, Jesus said, "Hold on." And then he's talking to a disciple. We know how he called the disciples, the stories. "Come and follow me." And if I'm wrong, correct me, but I don't remember of any occasion where maybe any gave any resistance to that. They upped and followed the Lord. Their hearts and their minds and were in the right places. They were committed to following the Lord. But then Jesus comes to them and says, "All right, follow me. Lord, look, I want to do that. But I got some things I need to take care of first." And the Lord says, No. Now is the time for you to follow me. There are times and places to take, you know, there are times and places to take care of things. I believe the Lord understands. The Lord will allow us to live life. The Lord will allow us to take care of things in life that need to be taken care of. He understands we have to live life, and He gives the help that we need, the strength that we need to take care of those things. But sometimes there are going to be places in our lives when the Lord wants our undivided attention. There's going to be places in our life when He comes to us and He says, "All right." He says, You've made the commitments and you've been working on this relationship with me and you've been making these commitments. You've been doing the right things. But He's going to come up to us at some point or another and call us to maybe a deeper relationship. Call us to another place. He's going to come up to us and say, "Child, now is the time You've been here, and I want you to follow me. Tighten up your bootstraps, put your jacket on, because we got some things to face. We got some places you're going to be led through. We're going to go through some places that's going to be tough and difficult to face, to go through. And am I ready to follow? Am I still committed to doing whatever it takes? Am I still committed when I told the Lord, Lord, I'll go with you all the way. No matter what it takes, whenever you call, I'm going to be ready. But when he called, when he actually says, okay, now's the time. Now's the time. Follow me. Am I ready? Am I still as committed now as I was when the Lord dealt with me and when I had that experience and when I made those commitments? You know, I have found in my home from time to time, talking to my children, and my intention is not to embarrass, but I find it important to sit down with them. We get quiet the evenings and we'll just sit around the room. And I find it important to talk about spiritual progression and not regression. And I'll ask them, I said, let's all in our own minds think about where we're at right now in this present time. Think about where you're at in your relationship with the Lord, your actions, your thoughts. Just think about your present state of living. And then think about something of the past, of when a special time in your life, of when the Lord came and visited you. Maybe it was an altar of prayer. Maybe it was when you gave your life to the Lord and you knelt before Him and you felt the conviction and you said, Lord, Lord, here I am and this is where I'm at. Forgive me. And He came down and He blessed you and He filled you with something. And I said, think back to those times. I remember Brother Eric preaching a message a while back. It was, remember the time. And I'll tell him, I said, let's think back to when maybe you were at an altar of prayer and you got up and you felt free and you felt like the Lord just got through meeting you here and you were like, Lord, I'm going to follow you and this is it. And I mean, almost just feel like you were on top of a cloud nine and it was just, life was wonderful. And you're ready to follow the Lord and go with Him and go through the trials and I'm entrusting myself to you and all these definitions. I'm binding, I'm obligating myself to your service and all these things. And so think of then and I think of now and Lord, I realize that there were things that when I come to you that you wanted me to, maybe some things you wanted me to get out of my life. Some things I knew you wanted me to work on. Some things maybe you wanted in my life that I didn't have at the time. And maybe I made those commitments. Maybe I promised you and I promised myself that in order to draw closer to you and to be what you would have me to be, that I was going to work on these things. And that I was going to do everything within my power and by your help, I was going to do these things. Folks, that's a wonderful place to be in. To make those commitments and push and get up and to sing that song, I mean to go right on. You know, until the crown is won, no matter what comes my way, and raise my hand to that song, and it's a wonderful place to be in. But if I think to right now, am I still committed? Am I still willing to push forward? Am I still willing to get some of these things out of my life that I know the Lord didn't want there at a time in the past, at some other time? Some of those things that He said, child, this isn't going to work. If you're committing to following me in a life of service and dedication to me, we're going to have to get this. We're going to have to get this out. I know it's going to take some work, but we're going to work on it, and we got to get it out of your life. Am I still working to get those things out of my life? Am I still working to get some of those things into my life? Am I still working to keep my focus and not let the distractions and the busyness of things that I have to do every day, day in and day out, distract me from the time needed with the Lord? Because I knew I had been in this place before. I knew that's one of my hang-ups. It's time and getting caught up. And getting caught up in life and getting caught up in work things and coming home with work things and these things weighing on my mind and clouding my thoughts and clouding my vision and causing me to lose focus. And if I think back and I remember the time that I've been in prayer, I've been on my knees for this situation. And I think I can remember telling the Lord, Lord, here I am again with all these things that I thought I had committed to you. Are they still committed? Or am I still life just has a way of clouding our vision. You know what? Let's put the blame where blame goes. Satan has a way of using the things in life and the things around us to do anything he can to distract, to cause our vision to blur, to cause us to get so caught up in the things and lose some of those vital commitments and promises and those things that I've given to the Lord. Folks, we can't afford to lose our commitments. Let's read this verse 62. Verse 62 said, and Jesus said, this is his response. Verse 61, another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And he's saying, Lord, I have some things to take care of. I got some things, some material things that I like. I got some things to set in order. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. I can't remember what commentator I was reading for this verse, but I appreciate the way they brought it out. It says, no man having put his hand to the plow. And they brought it out in a way, and it's as literal as we read it here. Imagine a man that has a plow in front of him, and he's got his set of oxen or his mule or whatever he's got to plow his ground. And he's at a point where he knows what needs to be done. He knows he's got a section of land or some earth in front of him that needs to be tilled and cultivated. He knows what needs to be done. And he makes that commitment. He says, I understand. I know all the ins and outs of it, the in and outs of it. I know what needs to be done, and I'm making a commitment to put my hands to the plow. And I'm going to till this ground, and I'm going to do it to the best of my abilities. And that means getting it tilled the way it needs to be tilled. And I think any farmer nowadays would take a little bit of pride, and this was brought out in the commentary, they would take a little bit of pride in when you till the ground and when you plant something and work, you make them them rows as pretty and as straight as possible. All right? So I know what I have to do. I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. I'm committing to this job. I'm putting my hand to the plow. I'm going to till this ground. I'm going to work with it. And I'm going to make this row as straight as I can. And Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back. And looking back from the commitment you're making. I'm putting my hand to this plow and I'm going to do this job. But the minute I look back and get away from that commitment, from that thing that I have endeavored and purposed to do, Lord help us. Because the scripture says is not fit for the kingdom of God. And folks, I think that's why it is so vitally important that those places we have come and we find ourselves before the Lord, and I've committed this and this and this and that, and all those things the Lord has worked with me on, and I understand them. He's given me the understanding I need for those things. And I say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Here's my life. Here's the things that you want. I understand them. I've committed them to you. And the minute we begin to look back or get distracted away from that commitment, we're not fit for the kingdom of God. Folks, we can make New Year's resolutions about anything we want to make. And be honest with you, in this everyday life, all the things I mentioned earlier, the losing weight, and I want to do this, and I want to do that. You know, I want to advise, don't make promises. Be careful about making promises you can't keep. Don't set unrealistic goals. But folks, when it comes to spiritual things, and when it comes to things that the Lord has showed me in my life, and that I know and I understand those things, and I make promises and commitments to Him to get those things taken care of, folks, it is in our best interest to get those things taken care of. Are they still committed? We cannot afford. We cannot afford to not be fit for the kingdom of God. Folks, we've come too far. We've come too far to lose any ground. I want to be fit. I want to be fit for the kingdom of God. And if that means putting my hand to the plow and not looking back, Lord, you know, Lord help me. Lord help me next time life gets busy, and guess what? It's going to get busy. Next time the whatever rolls around, the holidays roll around, and I got all these things going on, and Sunday's still going to come around, and I'm going to find myself in the situation seeking the Lord, and you're going to find yourself in the situation of needing something from the Lord. Lord, help us not to look back once we have given the Lord our lives and those things that He wants from us. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Lord, help us to be fit. But I don't want to end on that note, not being fit. I believe the Lord gives us the tools necessary. There is a way to constantly. I want to look at a scripture in Proverbs real quick. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16 and 3. It says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. And I guess when I first read this, I mean, I've got this verse highlighted in my Bible. I've read it all my life. But I guess I've really never given much thought to thy thoughts shall be established by committing our works unto the Lord. So, again, I was reading a commentator's thoughts on this. I'd like to read that. Pertaining to, and thy thoughts shall be established. When a man has, by faith and in prayer, committed himself, his case, his ways, and his works to the Lord, his mind is made easy. His thoughts are composed and settled. And he quietly waits the issues of things. He says, "The will of the Lord be done." He knows that he, God, causes all things to work together for his good, and God's glory shall be brought to pass. Folks, I want God's glory to be brought to pass. I want him to work in my life. I want him to bless me. I want him to bless you. I want us to all make heaven. And I feel like so much of the time, it's so easy to lose focus. It's so easy to lose the meaning of really what it's all about. We get so caught up and so wrapped up and the things going on around us and you know, the news stories from time to time and all these terrible things, these wonderful things. But Lord, help us as we go through this, as we go through this next year. Remember the time. Is that message brought out? Remember the time. Remember the times that the Lord came down and just blessed your soul and gave you what you needed and just the strength and the help and all those times. Remember those times. Remember those conversations when you've been on your knees in prayer before the Lord. And the things that you told him you wanted to do and that you were going to endeavor to do and that you were going to purpose to do. Keep it committed. Keep those things before us that we can see them clearly and that we won't forget them. Lord, help us to not forget our commitments to him. Let's all go to heaven. Let's all make heaven. But to do that, we're going to have to make those commitments. The Lord wants those things from us. He wants those things from us each and every day. Commitments and deeper commitments and more progression. He wants those things. But let's continue to keep those things. Keep those things committed. I want to make heaven my home, and I need help in this area as well, and I ask for y'all's prayers. Please pray for me.